Sports Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Monday morning. We do appreciate it. Third hour underway, 6 minutes after the hour. So the column from Alabama political reporter Josh Moon will be with us. Joining us now, always pleased to bring on my next guest. You can hear him on Thursday nights here on FM Talk 106.5, but also read him in the Call News and other papers throughout the state. Pete Ream joins us on the line. Pete, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, unlike your previous guest, I'm just a part-time political commentator. You got to catch me when you can. Thank you for having me.
There's nothing wrong with being a part-time political commentator, because at least you're in the game. But my previous guest, I would probably consider him a part-time commentator as well, if you consider all his other endeavors. But hey, we'll leave Del Jackson out of this discussion. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. We had a great weekend. We commissioned the USS Mobile LCS-26, the namesake for the city of Mobile, built at Austell and named for Mobile and commissioned in Mobile. It was a great event. Mobilians and everybody in Alabama, period, can be very proud of Austell and our Navy warship for represents our city and state. It was a great event.
Well, and I think it was a big, you know, we got a little taste of normalcy, too, with the Tardy Gras festivities and a lot of dignitaries coming to town. That this feels like kind of the awakening to me a little bit.
I think it was. I heard from the city, the estimate was 64,000 people came downtown Friday night to watch the parade, and then there were fireworks at 9:30. I mean, it felt like normal. People were excited. It was one, I think you're right, it is the awakening, the beginning of the return of normalcy.
Well, let's hope it's here to stay for a while and we don't ever have to go back to that the dark ages, if you will. Pete, I wanted to get you on here to talk about a couple of things. You're kind of our voice from the right part of the political spectrum there. First off, this audit in Arizona, and I think you got to see a lot more of these throughout the country of the 2020 election. I don't know what to expect, but are you optimistic at all about what could come of these endeavors?
Well, it's hard to say optimistic, because what I think is going to happen, and kind of what I've feared from all the way since November 3rd, is that slowly but surely, just like the Russian hoax, the truth will come out. But it'll come out months, weeks, months, years later, and we will find out that, yep, there was massive voter fraud. Yep, they stole the election. Yep, Biden is an illegitimate pretender. But what are you going to do about it? Who's going to do something about it? And so I think in my mind the best that I hope for, and I do, at this part I am optimistic, is they're going to find incredible cheating and scandals and these things. And I think you're right. There was one of the guys, cartoonists, that did the domino, you know, and Arizona was the first domino to go in this election fraud. And they're going to document this election fraud. But nothing's going to be done in Washington to rectify that. And we're just going to live with the stolen election. But my optimism is it will absolutely motivate every state to make sure that they have election integrity so that we can have confidence in our elections. Because, folks, that is maybe one of the most dangerous threats to our republic, is if the majority of the people lose confidence in the electoral process, then the government loses its authority to govern, and eventually it devolves from there. It must be, and I think the states get it. They are acting, and they're not letting up. I mean, the press isn't really covering it. I mean, you don't really hear about it in the mainstream press, but it keeps going on. You hear about it a little bit there, if you're smart, you're not listening to the mainstream press. You're going after others. But I think it will come out, won't change anything in Washington, but the states are going to fight back, and they're going to restore election integrity and preserve our republic.
You know, and I guess what kind of raises some red flags for me is the reaction from the mainstream media about all of this. Like, it seems like it's all hands on deck to your battle stations. We have to discredit all these efforts. We have to throw around, I think, the mispurpose the use of the big lie, because a lot of people associate the big lie with Nazi Germany. But we're going to call it the big lie that there was election fraud, that Donald Trump was cheated. We're going to make that our branding, and that we have to take it a step further by just, you know, demagoguing and trying to belittle anybody who's skeptical of what happened on November 3rd, 2020. And you watch all that unfold, you're like, why do they care this much? Why do they care to this degree? It was okay to question the 2016 election with Robert Mueller and claim Russian collusion. Then when there's an investigation conducted by the Mueller probe, they don't find anything. And it's, well, you know, better safe than sorry. But in this case, well, you know, you're an insurrectionist. You're against democracy. If you even just question what was went on here domestically, how Joe Biden and one. I mean, you see the contradiction there. I just wonder if the public's kind of getting, you know, wising up to what's going on here.
Oh, no, I think they are. Look, Americans don't like to dwell on politics and just be consumed on it like some weird people like you and I do. We follow it. You know, we're political junkies. But they get the big picture. And they pause periodically long enough to see what's going on. And they are not fooled by all this nonsense. And I think they the one thing they may not have always appreciated, but they're starting to appreciate, is the Democrats are not trying to compete. They're trying to annihilate. They don't want to compete in the battle of ideas. They want to annihilate opposition like any totalitarian regime would do. We're not going to discuss it. And that's being exposed, which I don't think the Democrats and leftists counted on. I think the other thing goes, they're sort of proving that there's something, there's fire behind the smoke. Because like you said, oh, we had to investigate all this stuff in 2016, and you better be patient, and we're going to root this out. If they're confident that it's a big lie, why are they not throwing open the books and saying, all right, all you tinfoil hat conservatives, let's look at these. They're not. I think they are so adamant that we not talk about it, that we not investigate it, and they want to ridicule you for even talking about it. It's because they know they are so guilty, and if ever exposed, it may do generational damage. And that may be the bright spot, that while it looks really, really dark right now, between now and 22 and 24, if all the shenanigans can really come out, and we can see the proof and the evidence of all the duplicity and malfeasance by leftists and Democrats and too many Republicans comes out, we might see the Democrats run out of power for a generation or two.
Wow, that's a bold statement there, but I think you're right. I think if you do see, if it is brought to light that there was something that went on, and I don't know if there was, you know, for sure what went on, but I have my suspicions. But if it does come to light that indeed there were some tricks played on the election process, then I think, yeah, the public is going to be upset with that, and it's going to show the dirty tactics of the left and the shameless power grab, and I think it's going to do damage to their causes for you know, as you say, I don't know about a generation, but at least a few election cycles at least.
No, I think so, because, you know, while we tend to forget that the Democrats actually don't have that much of a foundation. Since the Obama years, they've lost power at the local and state levels across the country. And they're continuing to lose power at the local and state levels because they do such a horrible job. They only have really power at the national level because of the echo chamber of the media and the propaganda deception. It's a house of cards. And they're not, and you know, I have to give you credit. My last column was you planted the seed for it when I heard you say a couple weeks ago, Carter-esque. So last week's column was Welcome Back Carter. And it was about that the Biden administration is already bringing back malaise. It's bringing back doom and gloom and hopelessness. It's all starting to happen already. And I think there'll be a backlash, and the American people are going to make, they're going to make the Democrats pay for incompetence, but they'll really make them pay if they start to think, y'all did some of this on purpose. You knew what you were doing, and you did it anyway. That's where the danger is, and I think they're vulnerable.
Joined by Pete Rehm here on the program. Pete, the other thing I'm noticing in Democrat politics, that we've never seen this before, and it's taken hold in the progressive left, but the progressive left, as it seems to consume the Democratic Party in 2021, this anti-Israel impulse, that those numbers are strengthening. This has always been something that's been bipartisan over the last, I'd say, half century or more, that the United States would support the state of Israel's right to exist. But here lately, you know, it used to be kind of a fringe position, but it's becoming more mainstream Democrat politics to be anti-Israel.
To me, that goes right along with what we were talking about. It's another dangerous position where they are taking the extreme, and they're going to be moving away from average Americans, and they're going to be punished for it. And actually, I think the Israel-Palestinian issue is maybe one of the clearest issues where you can see that the Democrats are either dumb or deceptive, because the Palestinians have in their constitution, and they have since they've existed, the sole objective and goal to not coexist with Israel, not have peace. They clearly state and have never wavered that their goal and objective is to annihilate Israel, to get rid of all Jews, to exterminate them, and that there is, they don't want a two-state solution because they don't want an Israel. Well, folks, there's no way to have peace with your neighbor who wants to kill you. And I think Americans are looking at this, and this is as plain as if my neighbor constantly posted on social media that he is going to murder my entire family. And he's always posting this on social media. He shoots at my house. And one day he comes across my yard throwing grenades at my house, and I drop him in the yard. But the media comes out and blames me for being an aggressor, for shooting the guy attacking my family. It's that brazen and blatant. And the American people are listening to the Tlaibs and Ilhan Omars and going, holy buckets, we've got terrorists on the House of the floor supporting evil. And I'm sorry, it's not the Palestinian people, but they have been hijacked. They've been offered every peace deal. They could have the two-state. They could have prosperity. They could have. They've been given everything over the last several decades, but not given it, been offered it, shall we say. And Hamas and the others, the PLA or whoever, has rejected it because it always includes the right for Israel to exist. Now, even us good old country boys out here and blue-collar workers, we can figure that out. And to me, that really exposes the duplicity or dumbness of the Democrats on this issue, and they are really risking a lot by letting these progressives hijack them. I think it's another place where they're going to pay dearly with the American people.
Yeah, I agree with that. That they don't, that, you know, it's just something we have always, it is bucking a tradition. And when you do so, you start losing people, because there's a lot of people that believe, feel very strongly about that issue, even though their politics may be very left of center. Hey, Pete, we're up against a break here. Folks want to find you online. They want to check out your writing. Tell them where to look.
Please go to renewamerica.com. It's our new home for the last couple of months. Columns are all up there. I encourage you to go. There's a comment section. Please visit me at renewamerica.com. And as always, I'm always the part-time guy, Thursday night, 8 p.m., Common Sense Radio. Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Thank you. Pete Reeb, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.